You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast and listeners, it is the Intercollegiate Championships preview show. And we did a show similar to this last year and it was one of my favourites because we have got a really big weekend of eventing coming up. And to help us look forward to it, I am delighted to welcome to the show, back to the show, I should say, Chairman of the Intercollegiate Committee, Leslie Threlkeld.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. And also organiser of Chattahoochee Hills, who are our hosts this weekend, Hugh Lahore.
Hi, Nicole.
It is good to have you both with us. Now, let's start. Intercollegiate Championships, big weekend for any college team looking to make their mark in eventing. We have got all sorts going on. So, Leslie, just take us back a couple of steps before we talk about what is in store this weekend at Chattahoochee Hills. Tell us about how the intercollegiate program came about and what these championships are all about. What's the aim here?
Sure. Yeah. So the intercollegiate eventing program became official in 2014. The USEA Board of Governors approved that after there was sort of a pilot year with a group called the Intercollegiate Eventing League, I believed, and they sort of got together and put together this official program. And the whole point of it was to provide a framework for, you know, students in school to continue to ride and compete in eventing while they were at school, because the it sort of gets really hard to keep that momentum when you're in school to do all the riding and do all your studies. So this was a way to sort of create this community where the students had some support, they had some energy, they had the momentum, and then also be able to keep that membership with the USEA between ages 19 and like 24, just sort of keep those numbers up. Because we sort of saw a consistent drop off of those membership numbers in that age range. And so far, it's just showing to be successful in that realm. We have a really thriving community of students who support each other and are really enthusiastic and work really hard. And then we've also seen a rise in numbers in that age range for the USEA membership. And the championships itself is just this wild and crazy celebration of these students. They get together and really make the most of it. And we all have a ton of fun. The competition is awesome, but I think the best part about it is the energy and the enthusiasm.
Energy and enthusiasm are two words that you cannot use enough talking about this kind of competition. Hugh, Chattahoochee Hills have organized all manner of different events at all different levels over the years. You hosted the Intercollegiate Championships in 2019, so you know what it's all about. How does it compare to your usual event? What is different and special about it?
It's really the atmosphere, as Leslie said. Those guys, the kids bring it all. We have all sorts of sort of side note things to really build up the spirit. We do have a spirit award. They get judged on all sorts of throughout the weekend, what kind of spirit they bring, how they dress up their stabling complex. They all get stabled as a team together, and there's a spirit award. There's a talent show that we at Chatt Hills put on, so they all come with a skit that they do on the, I think it's on Saturday night, isn't it, Leslie? That they do, and they all take. There's 23 teams competing this year, and most of them will bring a really good talent show skit. Yeah, and they all turn up in their with their mascots and in their school colors, and they just create an incredible atmosphere. So from that perspective, it's a regular event, but the regular event definitely gets overshadowed by the fact there is the collegiate championships going on, and it is all about them. And the kids know it's all about them too.
I have to admit, the Spirit Award is one of my favorite things about eventing. Yeah. I feel like we should try and bring it in to every major event we've got, because mascots, you had me sold. A talent show, absolutely brilliant. And I'm sure there's plenty of different talents sort of popping up that people you did not know, even your own teammates, you might not know they had. Leslie, give us a bit more of an outline of that, because there are two competitions going on this weekend, as well as the whole sort of, you know, actual normal event. There's the Intercollegiate Championships, where's the actual riding, but the Spirit Award is in a slightly different form. And I actually think a really more exciting form for 2022.
Yeah, in the past, and it's totally up to the organizers to sort of run that as they like to, because the Spirit Award, it's a gift from the organizers, essentially. They get their worth four entries back, but the whole school competes together, and it's really not even about how many people do you have there. We've had schools that only had 4 or 6 students win the Spirit Award because they just made that much of an impression. So it's not necessarily just having the most people. But in the past, we've done a Spirit Award, which is based on volunteerism. They help out as ring crew or jump judge, and just camaraderie and teamwork, what they do at the finish line. And then we've also had Spirit Awards here at Chat Hills. It's just a little bit different. We've got a wonderful group of ladies who build out this point system competition for the Spirit Award. And it does include the camaraderie and the teamwork and the sportsmanship, which is such a big part of it. But then also decorating your stalls, making a ton of noise on cross country. They do a Friday relay race, which I think has stick horses this year and jumps. And then you have the talent show, which is last year, or 2 years ago, I guess, when it was back at Chat, there was a lot of really amazing talents. There was singing, there were people that just did their fight song. There was a dance number in the main ring that I believe included fuzzy feather boots, white high heel boots, I recall, and just general.
General
shenanigans, really.
It's literally the most fun. Now, have you heard any rumors about what might be in store from some of the teams this year? Because they take it pretty seriously and they like to keep things pretty quiet, don't they?
They do. They're very secretive. There are going to be a couple of surprises this year that I am not at liberty to share at the moment.
They're literally smiling, listeners. I can tell there's something that should, come on, you could share it. There's only a few thousand people listening. They won't tell
us. So much trouble.
And we should say as well, Auburn University are actually the defending Spirit winners. So they won it back in 2021. Texie have actually won it twice. They're the only team to have won it twice. University of Kentucky won it back in 2018 and University of Georgia back in 2016 as well. So they are some of the teams that have won it in the past, and I have no doubt will be looking to keep hold of the glory this year. But lots to look forward to. And listeners, if you're following any of the coverage this weekend, absolutely look out for it. And I would thoroughly recommend going to follow a bunch of the riders and a bunch of the teams on Instagram. And you can do what I did last year and live vicariously through their entertainment. Because after this show last year, I basically wanted to run away from England, move to America, join an American college, get myself a horse over in America, join a college team, and go and compete. It looked that much fun. Just the most fun. So who will come out on top this year? It is Auburn, who are the defending champions. They've actually won the competition itself twice previously, back in 2019 and 2018. So looking forward to seeing what they can do this year. Tell us a bit about, though, what is in store at Chattahoochee Hills, Hugh, because from your perspective, as I say, long-standing organizer of events, you've held all the way up the levels to 4-star. You've got a normal event running this weekend as well. So give us the lay of the land, so to speak, for anybody who wouldn't be familiar with you.
Yeah, I mean, Chat Hills, I suppose, just for those who aren't familiar, we are rolling past. We've got 250 stables. We've got 250,000 square feet of arenas. We're a purpose-built facility for, and initially developed for eventing, which is fairly unique. And obviously, we now do jumper shows and things as well. But it is a purpose-built eventing facility. We run 7 events a year here. We have 7 unaffiliated events on top of that, so 14 events, and then another 18 jumper shows we run through the year. So it's a heavily utilized facility, and very well situated, I think, in the sort of heart of the Southeast, just beside Atlanta, 20 minutes from the biggest airport in the world. So it just becomes a really useful facility for the Southeast region, and we're very proud of the number of events that we run here. This coming weekend, if you like, I mean, we're in the middle of a pretty hot week. We've had a little bit of rain, so that's helped out. We've knifed the courses, but at this time of year, you do have a tendency to, you're in the lap of the gods a little bit. So it's going to be fast, and the courses are, I mean, I'm never one actually that likes to say whether a course is easy or difficult, or I mean, and the advanced course is the advanced course and the prelim course is the prelim course. I'm not a big one for separating courses into, oh, this time of year we've got to run it easy and at the end of the year it's got to be tougher running. The courses are all pitched at the level that they should be pitched at in terms of distance, complexity. We do take a little bit of distance off at this time of year. When you start getting into the 80s in temperature and you don't know whether it's going to be really hot and humid, certainly when we get to, we got two July events, we do tend to take a bit of the distance off there. And with distance, you take off jumping efforts as well. So because you don't want the intensity of jumping efforts and a shorter distance, because that also can cause its problems. So most of the courses will be on their shorter side this weekend, but otherwise they're all pitched at a level. There's no reason to make that any different because the collegiate championships are here.
And you're designing from prelim up. Rob Mobley is in charge of training and below. What is the terrain like at Chat Hills?
We've got access to some good hills. I know we've got two or three advanced horses, for example. I mean, that's not likely to be horses in the collegiate championships aren't competing at that level. But we've got a few going to Le Moulin, so they want a good run. So we are gonna have a couple of good hills in the upper levels. So we have a massive palette to work with, and so we can put in hills and get the rolling parts in as and how we like. So this year, this week we'll have good hills in the intermediate and the advanced. The rest of it will remain relatively just rolling down on the lower lands.
Okay, cool. One of the things that I love about the intercollegiate program, Leslie, is the fact that actually you can sort of mix and match the different levels. So just explain that to us, because you don't have to be all in competing in one level as such. So how does the scoring system work in that respect?
Right. Yeah, I love that part of it, too, because a lot of times you go to the team competition and you've got to be riding at a certain level to be able to participate because everyone's at the same level. And that's just really, we feel like for the intercollegiate, it's important for it to be really inclusive and available to all levels. So we have students that are riding beginner novice who are on a team with people riding an intermediate and or even FEI if that's being offered. And what we do to just sort of even the playing field in terms of the scoring is apply a level factor. So there's just a coefficient that is multiplied against your score. For instance, beginner novice has a coefficient of 1 and training has a coefficient, I believe, of 0.9. And then it just sort of goes from there. So the harder the level, the smaller the coefficient that's going to apply. And that just evens the playing field. But we've had students in the past who, I believe it was the very first year, we had students from Clemson who came to us and said, we use the Equiratings type system to make our team. So they actually went through all of their records, figured out what structure was going to be best for their teams, and put it together that way. They actually did all the math and everything with the coefficients, and they ended up winning.
Yes, Thompson. That is what we like to hear.
They're smart, these college kids, you know?
Yeah, they're very smart.
Smarter than the average eventer, yeah.
They take it very serious.
And yeah, then, absolutely. I'm impressed, guys.
We see a lot of different structures, and it's just great because you have, Kentucky has said that they've had, one year they came to the USEA convention and they did a discussion about how they run their teams and just the structure of it all, because every school does it a little bit differently. And they said that they had people come and join their team. They had 30 incoming freshmen join the team one year. And they said a large portion of them had never actually evented before ever. So they started eventing at starter level, participating, and they've got FER riders on their school team. And so now they're coming and they've come into the fold of eventing and are making their way up through the levels through that. And I think that just shows how it's bringing people together and promoting the sport.
One of the teams we have this year, and I remember talking to the coaches at Florida State University a few years ago, that they didn't have nearly, and UF, mm-hmm. It's the same. They didn't have nearly enough competitors to do a team, but they really strive to one day have a team. And here you are a few years later, we've got a full FSU team. FSU's in Tallahassee. We've got we've got students from Tallahassee Community College coming. Tallahassee being the home of Red Hills Horse Trials. So they've probably been there as youngsters. They might even be local to Tallahassee and gone to FSU or to TCC. But they've got into eventing through having been to an event. And now there is a an avenue for them to compete for their school. And the schools are embracing it too, Leslie, aren't they? We're really excited about how some of the schools are even offering scholarships, equestrian scholarships to eventers nowadays. As you touched on earlier, Nicole, that the idea of when I was young, it was a long, long time ago, but we did have universities back then. But the idea of being able to come over to the States and ride, I was competing back then, and to be able to come over and potentially ride on a on an equestrian scholarship at an American through the American university system would have been amazing. I see, hopefully in the next few years, you start seeing some Brits and Aussies and Kiwis, some of these event riders from abroad coming to school over here. And that would be a huge achievement if we could get that going.
How cool would that be? And yeah. I also wanted to say that we do have the heavy hitters. We've got, you know, we've got Kentucky, Georgia, Auburn. We've got some of these schools that are have a big contingent of students every year. But we do. We've got the smaller ones like Tallahassee Community College coming, and along with the Florida schools. And then we also have a student from Sewanee, the University of the South, that's coming this year, USC Aiken, University of Virginia. And it doesn't have to be a huge school to come and participate at the championships or even to participate in the team challenges. It can be a couple of individuals, and we make it work.
I was going to say, you can actually go as an individual, can't you? And you can almost make up a team. If you had enough individuals, they could make up their own team.
Yeah, exactly. We call them scramble teams.
Which is really cool because that means that nobody's going to miss out. So how many teams have we got at the Intercollegiate Champs this year?
23.
Yep.
Yeah, 23. That's what I've got. Yeah.
23 in total. Okay. And in terms of the levels at which they will be campaigning through, we've already sort of said, you know, the different levels can vary depending on, you know, what level you're competing at. So what levels would we be expecting them to be competing at this weekend?
The majority of them are novice in training, you always have the seasoned eventers in there. We've had in 19, we had one advanced rider even, I think we might have an intermediate competitor this year, but mostly sort of novice in training. And as Leslie said, they sometimes pitch their team, the riders, at a level that most suits the coefficient, which is quite crafty. But would you say that's right, Leslie? Probably novice in training?
Yeah, most of them. It's whatever is going to be offered by the organizer, which for this particular event is going to be beginner, novice, through advanced. So we can see students from every level. But we do generally, we'll have some upper level riders for sure. But generally, it's going to be, yeah, that novice training sort of making up most of it. Yeah.
And in terms of the defending champions, because last year it was the University of Kentucky Wildcats that won, one of their team members lines up actually in the Wildcats team again. That would be one of their most experienced riders in Cosby Green. I think Ivy Cullen-Dean is also in one of their other teams as well, but they've got a couple of newer riders on the roster coming through looking to try and defend their title too. For listeners of this show for a long time, you will know that my fellow Equiratings friend and co-host at times, Dermot Byrne, he's a real fan of Auburn University. That is who he campaigns for. And I would say, listeners, they did send him some hats, some stickers, some pom-poms even. So he will be sat at home. You can have an image, listeners. I might even get him to take a picture. Sat at home in Ireland. And he will be decked out supporting Auburn University. Who was it, Clemson, that did the Equiratings?
Yes.
Are they there this year?
They are. Yes, they are,
right. I'm Team Clemson. Clemson, hit me up and I'll support you this weekend. Anything you need.
I'm Florida State. Go Noles.
We're not even trying to remain, you know, totally impartial anymore. Leslie's like, well, I'm sitting on the fence very firmly. Thank you very much. What are you most looking forward to this weekend? What is the moment of the Intercollegiate Champs, Leslie, that stands out for you?
Oh, gosh. It's one of my favorite events of the entire year. I really just look forward to it. And these students work hard and they play hard and at school, and it's the same at this event. It's just so hard to choose a moment. I don't know. The whole thing, I'm exhausted by the end of it, but I'm so fulfilled and just so proud of these students. And I say that every time I do a podcast about intercollegiate, I'm just so proud of them. They work hard. They deserve something like this. Yeah.
And there's some big prizes this year as well, aren't there, Hugh? The sponsors have really stepped up and there's lots to go for.
A lot of that comes through the intercollegiate system. Yeah, the sponsors have, I mean, it's, well, we offer the winning team their entry feedback. That's a nice little thing for them to shoot for. But the sponsors, there's all sorts of engraved leather work and all sorts of things from the sponsors. So there's some really good garb and bling to be had at the end of it for the winners. I think I'm probably most looking forward to it. It's the talent show. I do want to give a shout out. When you have spirit awards and talent shows and ladies behind the scene that the students make the atmosphere, but there's people with an extraordinary amount of spirit themselves that make the students get active. And our girls here, Laurie Rowell and Penny Morse and their team, they do an incredible job of building a sort of a platform with the talent show, which is unique to Chat Hills. Virginia have done a phenomenal job of running the championships interspersed with us over the last 3 or 4 years. So it is there's a little bit of an element of, well, Virginia did this, so we've just got to do a better job. And then next year, Virginia will do it again, and they'll try and do a better job than us. I think that's credit to the system. And Andy Bowles and I, we kind of go backwards and forwards on making sure we do a better job. I'd make sure I do a better job than Andy. Yeah.
Healthy competition. That's all it is. Yeah. That is what we like. And before we move on, Leslie, I just wanted to ask you, because there was a new initiative, I think it was a new initiative, at Kentucky with the tailgating of College Row.
Oh, yes.
Which looked like it went down an absolute storm.
Gosh, you know, I really wish I had been able to make it over there to see it. I was in the D-box all day in Kentucky. But yes, that Rob Burke and Jordan Litter, Robert, obviously the USCA CEO, and Jordan Litter and Kate Bogan, who are both on the Intercollegiate Eventing Committee, went over there and judged our students on their tailgating and gave out some different prizes. But Kentucky very generously gave them free tailgating spots to the students. So there was a whole College Row at Kentucky 3-day event. And they brought it. They brought their tents. They brought their shakers. They brought their swag and made a lot of noise and had a great time. And I heard it was very, very cool. So, yeah, it was very generous of Kentucky to do that. It, you know, allowing the students the opportunity to be out there and show their school spirit and also cheer on the competitors up close and personal.
It's exciting as well. You know, going back to sort of the momentum that the intercollegiate system is building, you know, being able to showcase it at a big international event and hopefully get some more people involved, more people excited about it, some people from overseas to see it as well. You know, it's only brilliant for the sport and for the system moving forward. Special shout outs to the winners. Best food, University of Kentucky. Virginia Tech won best drink. Best decor was University of Finley eventing team. And then Clemson won a special mention for the best prop. And I don't know what the best prop was. And I'm now insanely curious.
I don't know either.
I'll Google it, listeners. I'll see if we can do a super, super quick Google as to what it would be.
I was stuck in my little tent all day too. And I wish I'd known more about the tailgating thing there.
It was my intention to try to make it over there and see, but I just wasn't able to get that done. But Claire Kelly at the USCA was a big part of getting that put together for the students and working with EEI to make that happen. So and sounds like it went off pretty well.
It sounds like it went very, very well. I think I'm right in saying, is the tiger the
Clemson,
the sort of the mascot of Clemson? So maybe it was a big tiger.
Probably a big tiger. They turned up here in 2019 with a big tiger, yeah.
Watch this face. Yeah.
Auburn also had Aubie, who is their official mascot.
He's a tiger
come
too.
Over. Yeah, he's also a tiger, and they had him come over from Auburn, the guy that plays the official mascot over there, and come and wander around and at Chat Hills. And I think we saw him on a horse at one point and taking pictures. And
literally
we've got
amazing.
A few tigers too. Yeah, we've got. I'd love to see more mascots making their way around. Maryland always comes up with their mascot and which is just basically a giant horse that's just wandering around. And that's just, you sort of drive into the venue and you're like, oh, there's a horse on its hind legs just walking by, very casual. And it's like, you're in another dimension.
All adds to the fun. Well, look, we cannot wait to see who will take the top spot this weekend, not only at the actual Intercollegiate Eventing Championships, but also in that much coveted Spirit Award. Leslie, you, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure, and good luck for the event itself this weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Nicole. Thanks for having us.
Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed it. And if you would like to join my campaign to run away to the US, to join a university and go and compete in the Intercollegiate Eventing Championship, drop me a message. We'll see what we can sort out. But for now, that is all we've got time for. We'll be back very soon with more. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.